Introduction. A Pilgrim's Guide to Rest is what happens when friends get around to putting their hearts and souls down in words. That's this book. We dipped out our deepest convictions and vision for the church and spread them out across these several humble chapters. We have no idea how they'll be received. Okay, maybe a slight idea. There's always this risk involved in putting yourself out there as we have. There's always the concern that all the clarity was only in our heads. The space between writing and reception is a breeding ground for all sorts of fears, rejection, misunderstanding, confusion, or correction. Our concerns are heightened in that we are deconstructing concepts and constructs that have been largely assumed by people in the church for generations. This has the potential to involve an intense reaction as people sense the foundation shifting beneath them. It's happened before, in our own church, as a matter of fact. This reaction is understandable. At certain times, these sorts of responses were the result of a poor delivery on our part. For certain, we can always say things better. As a result, we've adjusted our language and delivery along the way. But no amount of wordsmithing can alleviate the tension created when basic assumptions are challenged by new voices. People will have to wade through these waters themselves and come to their own conclusions. Robert Frost has a poem entitled "The West Running Brook." It's an analogy drawn from a brook on his farm intended to explain his effect as a poet within the world of poetry. Frost's poetry was like a brook on his farm that flowed west away from the ocean when every other brook flowed east towards it as nature dictated. That's how Frost saw his style. It was a challenge to convention. As Frost wrote, "Here we, in our impatience of the steps, get back to the beginning of beginnings, the stream of everything that runs away. Getting back to the beginnings and foundations means going against traditional tides and challenging conventional thinking. In so doing, you are not moving away from the truth, but toward it. It's a painful resistance to go upstream, but clarity is that way. It's important to understand that Theocast flows in an opposite direction set against popular tides. This is by design. We are a west-running brook with the aim of throwing assumptions back on themselves in order to find the beginning. But we need to remind the reader, whether eastward or westward, all brooks arrive at the same ocean, which is Christ. Don't mistake us for contrarians. We're not being contrary for the sake of being contrary. We're not set up against everything that is traditional. We're merely trying to distinguish between tradition and truth." As you read, if you're not familiar with our podcast, there's a chance this experience will be like hearing a constant punchline without knowing the joke. This can be awkward. There's a lot of background, context, vocabulary, and shared experience in these pages. It might serve you well to listen to our recommended podcast on our website, theocast.org. But if this sense of an inside joke is off-putting, please accept our apology. This was not our intention. There's a fair amount of winsomeness in these pages that follow. This comes from a genuine place. Taking the truth seriously without taking ourselves too seriously is a core value for us. There's the potential to think we're making light of serious realities. This tone can be especially distasteful if your long-held convictions are being challenged. So please keep reading. You'll discover the pages are laced with depth of conviction and a reverence for the transcendent realities of God and grace. We're not trying to be insulting. We're trying to be disarming. If this backfires, again, we're sorry. Additionally, if our arguments resonate with you, we're grateful. Welcome to the Reformation. But you will immediately recognize the tension involved and potential consequence of moving away from the familiar and popular. You'll begin to think that you're alone and that you're crazy, but you're neither alone nor crazy. There are a lot of you out there, more than you think. Furthermore, these doctrines we're espousing were first espoused by the likes of Calvin and Luther, not to mention a thousand other old-sounding theologians you've not heard of yet. So these thoughts are not novel. They're our original baseline. Generally, the further back you go toward the beginning of who we are, the Protestant Reformation, the more central the doctrine of assurance is. It is the gravitational force that holds the Reformed universe together. Without it, things inevitably drift towards rationalism and the will of man. A stress on the doctrine of assurance sounds odd to us because we are so far removed from the center. Herein, we refer to ourselves as confessional. It's intended as a contrast to popular evangelicalism. The descriptor is also strategic. By referencing those historic documents, originally set against medieval moralism, which lay out and defend the gospel of Christ, We intend to support our arguments with our founding documents rather than all the theological amendments which have taken place along the way and shaped our thinking at present. As we argue, we lean upon these confessions as our chief resource. This way, you do not have to take our word for it. You can read it for yourself. Lastly, our prayer is that this brief volume causes you to stop and think about some things you've assumed. The intention is not that you abandon the faith, become anti-traditionalist, or fall into some stage cage of anger towards the norm, the ex-smoker syndrome, as it's called. Our intention is that Christ becomes clearer. And as Calvin once wrote, we may be able to look straight towards him, having unburied him from years of clutter. Post Tenebris Lux. The Boys, Nashville, Tennessee, 2018.